Shalom Aleichem on behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Makos Daf Vav, Makos 6b, pagination is 12. Starting from the last statement of the Mishnah, which is the first quarter of the page. Davar Acher, the Mishnah is explaining a second approach to the words Al Pishnayim Edim. And says, Al Pishnayim Edim, by the words of two witnesses, this teaches us, Shalot Tehe Sanhedrin Shamas Mipi HaTurguman, that the Sanhedrin, the court, is not allowed to hear the testimony from a translator. They have to hear it directly, Al Pishnayim Edim, from the mouths of the two witnesses. And we understand that a basic reason for this is because there's more clarity in understanding what the witnesses are saying and the ability to cross-examine them if you understand what they're saying, so you pick up the nuances. It's interesting that great people with great perception, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky as an example, he said that the comparison of having a conversation in person compared to having on the phone is such an enormous difference that he held that the phone is to make appointments. That's the purpose of a phone, to make appointments. But the real accomplishment of the conversation would be in person. So we live in a different type of world of virtual reality. And be that as it may, you got to live in the world that you live in. But it is interesting that a true testimony would have to be not just with the Edom present, but without a translator in between. They really understand the nuances of the witness as he is testifying. In our time, we have a lot of differences, things that we do that are not quite the way it was described, strict law in Talmudic description. And that's because people can subject themselves to whatever guidelines the court offers. And nowadays, we will accept different types of evidence, Skyping someone in to bear information that's relevant on the case, etc. But in the strictest sense, there can't even be a translator in between them. This law is extrapolated to apply to the Ba'alei Din also. That means that the litigants are speaking in a language that the court understands. Otherwise, it's not ideal. In Choshen Mishpat, Simen Yud Zayin, Se'if Vav, the way it's presented is that they shouldn't put a translator in between if they are makir bilashonam v'shomeya ta'anoseihem. If it's possible to hear them directly, then you shouldn't put a translator in between, perhaps because of ease or something. If you don't know the language well enough that you could respond, then you could put a translator so that you're hearing them, but when you respond, you're responding through the translator, and that's the function of the translator, to ease it up, to make it smoother. When the Dayanim are responding, they're able to respond through the translator. So over here, it's not as strict a law, but it's also part of the general mood. The Sma says, May ha'edim nilmad lebaal din, from the witnesses, that's an actual law, you understand, to the litigants, that it's the same basic thing so that we could cross-examine and understand their claims properly. Let's drop down to the Gemara on the bottom of the page. Three lines up. Hanu le'uze, there were people who spoke a different language. Da'asu le'kamei de'rava, they came in front of Rava. And there's discussion, you could see it in the Bach, whether this was a case of witnesses or a case of litigants. But somebody wasn't speaking the same exact language that Rava was proficient in. Uki Rava Turguman Beinayu, and Rava put a translator in place. Asks the Gemara Vechi Ovid Hachi, how could he have done this? V'atanan Shalotei Sanhedrin Shemas Mepia Turguman. The Sanhedrin are not allowed to hear through a translator. And to keep this really simple, let's assume that we're talking about the witnesses, which is the original Pasuk, Apishnayim Edim Yakum Davar. It has to be, as the Mishnah said, through the witnesses, directly. And the Gemara answers, Rava Meidahava Yoda Maidahavu Amri. Rava knew what they were saying, so the technical Pasuk was fulfilled. Va'adure Yehuda Lohava Yoda, but he didn't know how to respond in their language. And this is a common expression. I understand what's being said, but I would break my teeth trying to speak it. So you have people who know. They know how to understand Hebrew, how to understand Spanish, Russian. They know how to understand it, perhaps. They've been exposed to it, but they wouldn't be able to express it properly. So that's the case that Rava used a translator. In Choshen Mishpat Simen Chav Ches Se'if Vav, we have the original halacha, which was regarding the witnesses. The Mechaber writes, Tzorech she'avinu adayonim lashon ha'edus. They have to be able to understand the language of the testimony. Shelo yishamu mipi haturgamon. They're not allowed to hear it from a translator. Ve'im mevinim ma she'hem omrim. But if they understand what's being said to them, afilum enam yodim lahashiv, even if they don't know the language well enough to be able to respond, mutalam miturguman beneim, then you could put a translator there, and that's just a support. Maybe he would clarify certain words that they're hearing from the witnesses, perhaps, but the way it's described, it's really for the response that the Beis Din should be able to respond through the translator. The halachas that we're learning here, that Beis Din has to know the language, certainly of the witnesses and possibly of the litigants as well, is the concept that we have, which is a statement in Gemara Sanhedrin, Yudzayin Amar Aleph at the bottom, that Rabbi Yochanan said, Ein moshivim b'Sanhedrin, you shouldn't put on to a Sanhedrin a judge unless, and there's a list here, Balei Chochma, he has to be wise, etc. V'yodim ba'ayin lashon, and he has to know 70 languages. Shalote Sanhedre shomas mipi haturgamon, because Sanhedrin are not allowed to hear from a translator. So they have to know all the languages of the world in order to be put on the Sanhedrin. That's the simple way of translating what Rabbi Yochanan said. The Rambam, when he codifies it, is a little bit looser. Says the Rambam, v'sheyedu b'rov ha'lashonos. They should know most of the languages. They should know a lot of languages. Kedei shelot ha'Sanhedrin shamas mipi haturgamon, so that the Sanhedrin should not be in a position that they would have to listen to a translator, which would make it very questionable. It could be it doesn't work. It's not al pishnai medim. It could be that they're proficient enough that they just need the translator there to support them, which becomes an interesting question. But in any case, they have to know most languages. So the Kesef Mishnah says, the Dover Zorhu, it's a foreign thing, it's a very odd thing, lahamtzi, to find misha yodea b'chol shivim lashon, a person who knows all 70 languages. And the Kesef Mishnah says it straight out, but couple that with the fact that he has to be knowledgeable in Torah, which is a bit more important. He has to know the Torah law besides all the languages. So if you'd have a linguist expert, but he would have to know Torah, which is itself a whole field of wisdom, if we could reduce it to such an expression. It's a way of life. To expect that is a little bit unreasonable. And therefore, the Kesef Mishnah says, Avali lo mishtakhi, if you can't find someone who knows all 70 and find a whole Sanhedrin like that, lo ma'akvi kolhani, it's not ma'akiv, you could still appoint someone to the Sanhedrin. And when you go back to the Gemara in Sanhedrin, where Rabbi Yechanan said, ein moshivin, you don't appoint somebody like that, he apparently meant, ideally speaking, these are the qualifications. The Kesef Mishnah concludes, yesh sa'ad ledavar, there's a support to what I'm saying, that it's not a requirement, it's ideal. Because we find by Moshe that Nevonim, which was the original wish list, people of understanding, lo ashkach, he wasn't able to find people that qualified for that title, that they're understanding. Whatever that title denoted, we find that it's missing when he actually appointed them. So this is related to the famous statement regarding the story of Purim and Mordechai, that Mordechai understood the language of Bigson and Seresh as they spoke Turkish because he was on the Sanhedrin, because he was proficient in many languages. So the expression based on the Gemara that we quoted is that everyone on the Sanhedrin knew all 70 languages, which the Kesef Mishnah says is not a reasonable expectation on a practical level. But they were indeed knowledgeable in many languages, and it was because they were on the Sanhedrin. It was related to that, so that a litigant or a witness whose mother tongue was one of these foreign languages would be able to testify or make a claim in front of the Sanhedrin, and they were proficient, and it's certainly related to this concept, which is mentioned in our Mishnah, Shalote Sanhedrin Shamas Mipi Aturgamon, that Sanhedrin is not allowed to hear things through the translator. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.